The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today FM.
And it's Culture Club time, and we're joined by one of the country's best country music stars. Burst on the scene back in 2019 at the Late Late Show Country Special and certainly hasn't looked back since. Clodagh Lawler, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word in Today FM.
Thank you so much for having me. This is an absolute honour to be here. You know, I just said to you, having seen this online, I never thought I'd be here, a country girl, getting to talk about country music in Dublin. So it's absolutely great to be here.
There's loads of people in Dublin who love country music, aren't there?
I know. This is the thing. I think country right now is starting to become a bit more commercialised. It's great. You know, it's always been in Ireland. And it's funny, I hear a few radio presenters saying, where has country been? We need more festivals here. And I'm like, it's always been here. You just haven't had, I suppose, the widespread opportunity to see it as much as we have now. And all the biggest artists are coming to Dublin. So it's just, it's been great.
Beyond even Gareth Brooks.
Gareth Brooks, but you know, when someone even that's even bigger at the moment than Gareth Brooks, and I can't even believe I could say that, but Morgan Wallen, that's coming to Dublin next month, he's playing the Tree Arena on the 8th and the 7th, and like, he's a huge artist, and I can't believe he's coming to Dublin. You know, it's amazing.
But is this the thing, that perhaps at times there has been traditionally a snobbishness among certain people in Ireland towards Irish country and western, as it used to be known in the past, no more country? Well, at the same time, there's some magnificent music coming out of the United States, which sort of crosses over into the more mainstream pop, but effectively is country, and people love that while denigrating the Irish versions.
Yeah, I mean, Irish country music is very, very different, even though they sub from the same genre. It's mad to see that they are so different. And I don't know, maybe your listeners might go jiving at the weekend. You know, it's a huge thing when it comes to country music, that people love to go to dance. And it is a fantastic community on a Saturday night, seeing people just go out and dance, no drink, no nothing. They get there at 8, they're gone by 12. And a lot of young people as well, Matt, are starting to really come about. And it's great. It's great to see. And I suppose then, as I said, having the opportunity to see all the big artists that they follow in the States that are now coming here, it's just, as I said, it's just becoming huge. I can't get over it, how many people now are wearing country boots, for instance.
Okay, well, how you got into it is partly explained by your first choice, the first single you ever remember buying. And of course, you're at an age where it wasn't a 7-inch single, it was a CD. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what your first purchase was.
Yeah, so my first purchase of a CD, a self-discovery, was Carrie Underwood. She was on American Idol. I think I was eight or nine. And I remember, I know it sounds weird, I'm not ancient now. I don't anywhere listen to think I'm ancient. But, you know, you used to go home and dial up the internet after school. And the YouTube was where I used to find music before we had all these streaming services. And I used to come home from school, tell my mom, no one ring the phone, I got to watch American Idol because Carrie Underwood was on it. And every Friday.
Yeah, I was just wondering where you got to see American Idol, because that wouldn't have been on RTE, and I don't know how many channels you would have had back in Clare in the 1990s.
Definitely wasn't American Idol, wasn't been streamed, but I would come in on a Friday because it would air on a Thursday in the States and it'd be on YouTube on Friday. So then I'd get home, like, no one ring the phone, and Carrie Underwood was the artist at the time, and she went on to win it, and we had friends in the States, and her album came out, Some Heart. And I just said, you need to send that album over to me. So I got the album over, and then...
So what age were you then at that stage?
I think I was 7 or 8. Yeah, 7, 8, 7, 8 or 9. I can't particularly remember, but it was definitely 7.
You got into it very young, didn't you?
Yeah, but it was always played at home, Matt. You know, it was always either... You know, obviously from Clare, and from Clare, Irish traditional music is a huge thing down our way, and it would always be on the radio. But mum and dad always loved American country music, so it would always be playing in the kitchen. So I think I generated the kind of vibe towards what country music was, and then went on to actually discover all these women like Carrie Underwood, Trisha Yearwood, Martina McBride. And so Some Hearts was my first album. I still have it today, you know, $10 written on the top corner of it.
Let's hear a little bit. Jesus, Take the Wheel.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the
Okay, that, I got the year wrong. 2005, that album actually came out, not 1990s when she won. And that was a Grammy-winning album. Yeah. And she remains one of the most popular country music artists, does she?
She does, yeah. She's one of the ladies that would go on now and do the residency in Las Vegas. You know, there's not many, there's a lot of country artists that are down there, but not many females. There'd be herself and Miranda Lambert, would be down there. So Carrie is just one of the biggest names and definitely someone that I've always looked up to as a woman, I think, as well, and an aspiring country artist.
Okay. So we asked for a favourite album and you gave us one that's your favourite right now, which is...
Carly Pearce. Yeah, Carly Pearce, Hummingbird. It just came out, I think it was like 2 months ago it came out. And Carly Pearce actually is another artist that's coming to Dublin. It's in February. And it's just amazing that she's coming over again, like €30 to see her. I mean, you would not get next or near to seeing this artist in the States for what you get to see them here. And Carly has just been that kind of woman that has brought out the 90s vibe. But in a, as you kind of said, the pop, you know, the pop sound that's generating in country music right now on the radio. But she's always said very traditional to her 90s music. And in this record, it speaks for itself.
OK, this is from the Hummingbird album. This is Head Over Heels by Carly Pearce. Carly Pearce, Head Over Heels Overhead, excuse me, from the Hummingbird album. You mentioned the crossover with pop. Would you like, for example, what Beyonce has done recently with Texas Hold'em? You don't.
No, I do. I mean, I really do like it. It's a great song. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Beyonce is Beyonce. You know, no matter what she sings, if it's Happy Birthday, it's going to sound amazing. I just think... just because there's a banjo in a song now doesn't retrospect that you're country. Do you know what I mean? In a sense of like, you've so many artists now that want to be country artists. And years ago, you'd never have as many people, but it's just, it's whatever's going on with country music right now. It's just the it thing. But I don't think Beyonce is country. She's not country. But
not
it's
even
a great album. I mean, it's a good song. The album wouldn't be my favourite album. But again, you know, it's just because it wouldn't be country to me.
And what about Taylor Swift? Would you have regarded her as country at one stage?
Yeah, the very, very beginning, Taylor, definitely, with her Tim McGraw songs or Teardrops on My Guitar, like that album was definitely country. And even the Speak Now one, but she kind of labels herself as pop now.
And how would you like her progression? Has she gone too far to the other side, the dark side, has she?
I know, like Taylor had, I suppose she had her agenda that she was going to go that way anyway. And if you listen to the music, you definitely would have seen it was going to circulate towards that. And I actually found Taylor mesmerizing to watch when she came to Dublin. Her community is phenomenal as an artist.
Did you go to one of the gigs?
No, I never went. And I probably should have gone. You know, I probably should have gone. But there was just other things on that weekend. And I actually was in Dublin on the Saturday. Never thought, I actually forgot that she was playing because I'd been to Shania Twain that week as well. And I was like, what?
But they were on the same night. Shania Twain played Malahide on the Friday night. What was that like?
Shania was very good, yeah.
Oh, you don't seem wildly enthusiastic.
It was very, very good. My God, look, Shania Twain again is Shania Twain. There were some parts of it that I was just like a bit disappointed about. But as an overall production, I don't want to say too much about Shania. She's absolutely phenomenal. She's been an artist I've always looked up to. I just maybe thought, I think outdoor gigs don't get me as much as indoor gigs. That might have been just me as a person, that I just find it, I find it easier when I'm indoors listening to an artist than outdoors. I find it harder to connect, if that makes sense.
It does make perfect sense. And this is sort of a build up to me asking about favourite band or artist, because while you were able to give us an album quite quickly, this I think was harder for you, was it?
Yeah, because I think, you know, there's so many artists I follow for different reasons. And there's definitely a lady that I've been following for a very long, long time, but watching her career grow now has been phenomenal, Lainey Wilson. And she actually came to Ireland in April. And again, it was just so great to see her in such a small venue.
Where did she play?
She played in the Ulster Hall in Belfast. Yeah, all the gigs are going to Belfast now, which is kind of, I'm like, oh my God, we need to get them back.
Why is that?
Dublin. Because there's such a huge draw for country music up in Belfast, you know, and there would be for the scene of even the Irish country music scene, that'd be really, really big up there. So I think the production like companies and, you know, promoters just want them all to kind of circulate around where they're going to do well in. But Carly, as I said, Carly's playing here. Lainey probably will come back again, but she's doing phenomenal. And I was so fortunate enough, when I had a radio show with Clare FM, I got to interview her. And that was like, oh my God, you know, to actually hear her and just to see her career, what has happened in the last 2 years.
Why? What singles her out for you?
I just think she's really started from the bottom. You know, she moved to Nashville many years ago. She lived in a little kind of caravan for a couple of years. Then she got dropped. Then she got brought back by publishing companies. And then she had this album written and it wasn't kind of going anywhere. But then she got on Yellowstone, you know, that TV show.
Yes.
And her name got out there from there. And then it just was like a snowball effect for her, which is phenomenal. And I admire her as well because she's a woman, you know.
Lainey Wilson, let's hear a little bit of Watermelon Man.
Just before the summer disappeared, we went a riding them old farm roads, hanging out on the gate of his truck. We threw a blanket neath the sunset. Being brave as 18 gets, we gave each other more than our hearts with the help of a mason jar. Drinking watermelon moonshine, cut the bar.
Claudia, can I take my life in my hands and ask, no, are there times when a lot of country music sounds very much the same?
Yeah, I know, yeah. But you know, you could say that about nearly every kind of genre of music. But country music obviously will have the same kind of ornamentation or, you know, the same instruments and all that. But
even the twang in the voice, and again, excuse my ignorance, but there is a touch of me that maybe of a 21st century Dolly Parton in that voice.
Yeah, Lainey, they actually, a lot of people in the country music scene would describe Lainey as been very like Dolly, you know, and there's certain songs that Lainey could only sing, you know, when you look at different artists. But I know we played Carrie Underwood there before and Carly Pearce. They all do have their own style, you know, they do. I think and that's the most kind of mesmerizing thing to watch with them. They all have a different look as well and a different style and everything is so different. Like Lainey is a real westernized kind of girl. Like you'll never see Lainey wear a dress. You know, she'll only be wearing like, her album is called Bell Bottoms Country, Bell Bottom Pants. And then like, Carly will only probably wear like dresses and shorts. And then Carrie Underwood will have big dresses. So as much as they might sound the same, when you get to visualize them, you actually single out them instantly then for who they are, because you just begin to like know them as people as well as country artists.
I'm just thinking the one that I would really like, and again it's because of her work with Robert Plant, Alison Krauss.
Oh yeah,
has just this magnificent voice as well. So anyway, best gig you ever at, because I'd say you go to quite a few, do you?
Yeah, I do try to get to as many country gigs here in Ireland when I can, because as I said, they play such small venues that it's just amazing for what you're, who you're getting to see for the price you're getting to see them at. And in the small venues, you just get to enjoy the gig a bit more. But last December, I went to Morgan Wallen in London, and it was possibly one of the best nights of my life.
Now, tell me more about Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, Morgan Wallen is... probably you could call him the bad boy in country music at the moment. If you went to Google him now, you'd see a lot of stories. But I tried to just single out that and just follow the music. Morgan was on The Voice many moons ago, and then from The Voice kind of kept gigging and gigging. And then in 2020, he brought out his first album, and it went on to be the biggest selling album in the world in all genres. And from that, it's just... And I actually think, you know, the likes of, you said, Beyonce going country. Because when you hear Morgan Wallen, he's not your typical country boy, like country sounding boy. Like, he's really much the pop R&B kind of sound. And I think someone like Morgan, having done so well, is generating a lot of people coming in. And you know that song, the bar song, the tipsy song, you know, and Austin by Dasha. These songs that are like, they're country, but they've got that real kind of pop sound to them. That's why I think everyone is thinking, oh, we can do it if Morgan is one of this big artist, and his production then as a show is
phenomenal.
So you
saw him where?
In the O2 in London.
In London. Yeah. When was that?
It was in December, last December, and it was the first time he came to Europe as well, and it was amazing. It was his only show in Europe. To bring a full production like that just to London was amazing, and he's coming back now to Dublin on the 7th and 8th, and I'll be at both nights.
Both nights, okay. Right, let's hear a little bit from that concert of the O2 in December. This is Morgan Wallen singing Cover Me Up. Morgan Wallen singing Cover Me Up from his gig at the O2 in London. He comes to Dublin next month. Clodagh Lawler is with us for the Country Club. I said the Country Club. It's for the Culture Club, but it may as well be the Country Club tonight. We'll be back with all of her non-musical choices after this short break. Welcome back. Clodagh Lawler is with us for the Culture Club. Clodagh, of course, who burst on the scene at the Late Late Show Country Special in 2019. And you gig a bit with Nathan Carter now, do you?
Yeah, I've done a bit with Nathan in the past. I haven't seen him in ages, would you believe? But I do a lot with Derek Ryan. I don't know if you heard Derek Ryan as well. I do a lot with him, getting to go to the UK and Scotland and a few shows around Ireland with him. So it's been great.
Okay, let's move on to non-musical things for the moment, although we will hit musicals in a minute. Mm-hmm. Movie actor or director, you've gone for Denzel Washington. Why?
Yeah, I just find every movie I watch with him so motivational. Remember the Titans is probably my favourite one that he did many moons ago now. So, well, in the 90s it was, and he brought out. But I just find it, every time I turn off the telly from him, I'm really inspired.
Okay, well, we have a clip from Fences, which was an adaptation of a play, and he got nominated for an Oscar for playing Troy Maxson, who made his living as a sanitation worker in 1950s Pittsburgh, and who had dreamed of becoming a professional baseball player but was deemed too old when the major leagues began admitting black athletes. And he was bitter over his missed opportunity, and he created further tension in his family when he squashed his son's chance to meet a college football recruiter.
Can I ask you a question?
What the hell you got to ask me? Mr. Stewicki, the one you got the questions for.
How come you ain't never liked me?
Like you? Who the hell said I got to like you? What law is there say I got to like you? Want to stand up in front of my face and ask a damn fool-ass question like that? Talking about liking somebody. Come here, boy, when I talk to you. Straighten up, goddammit. I asked you a question. What law is there say I got to like you?
None.
All right, then. Don't you eat every day? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you eat every day?
Yeah.
As long as you're in my house, you put a sir on the end of it when you talk to me.
Yes, sir.
You eat every day.
Yes, sir.
Got a roof over your head.
Yes, sir.
Got clothes on your back.
Yes, sir.
Why you think that is?
Because of you.
Hell, I know it's because of me. But why do you think that is?
Because you like me?
Like you. I go out of here every morning. I bust my butt putting up with them crackers every day because I like you. You're about the biggest fool I ever saw. It's my job. It's my responsibility. A man is supposed to take care of his family. You live in my house, fill your belly with my food, put you behind on my bed because you're my son. Not because I like you, because it's my duty to take care of you. I owe a responsibility to you.
Heavy stuff with Denzel Washington.
I know. His voice, though, is so... I don't know. It's the easiest voice to listen to, I think. I find when I need a bit of a kick me, you know, a pick me up or a tap in the back to kind of keep going what I'm doing, I turn on his motivational videos on TikTok and whatever speech he's
giving.
Well,
does he do motivational videos?
Yeah. He does. Like, you obviously people make them, like...
Or make them from voice, the various movies.
Yeah, and his voice then. Or he could be doing a speech somewhere or at a college or just in an interview or whatever. And every time... he speaks, I'm just like, oh my God, it's fine. Everything will be fine. Denzel says it'll be fine.
Okay. Musical. You've gone for Dear Evan Hansen. Mm-hmm. Tell us what this is about.
So Dear Evan Hansen is about a young boy who was suffering from anxiety and finding it very hard to fit in. And then kind of later on went on as someone else. He liked this girl and this... I don't want to get too heavy. It's very, very heavy topic with it. But this boy commits suicide in the play and goes on from that he liked the sister and then pretended to be the guy's best friend. And it just went tangled up in the air after that. But the music from it and the message in it is great. You know, it's kind of, I just love the whole, if you keep talking and speaking, that everything will be all right in the end.
Let's hear one of the songs from it, from Dear Evan Hansen. This is You Will Be Found. Are you a fan of musicals?
I love them. Yeah, I've always loved them. And it's funny, when we were kids, Mom used to... I have a sister. It's just me and my sister at home. And Mom used to always love spending time with both of us, obviously. And we're very, very different, but very the same in different ways. And when we were younger, because we live near Shannon Airport, Mom used to take us to London for, you know, one day. Like, we'd just go in the morning and come back in the evening. And every time we'd go, I get to pick what we could do. And it was to see a musical, you know. And I think I've seen a handful of them now, you know, nearly all the big ones. But musicals always kind of just bring me back to... been a child and wanting to be on stage and
over for the matinee, fly over for the matinee version in the afternoon, yeah. fly home that evening.
Yeah, we come back to Shannon at about maybe 11 o'clock. It was perfect, you know. It was a memory. I think that's why musicals, I'm so close to them as well, because they've always been associated to spending time with Mom. And then if I wanted to see one, Mom would always come with me as well.
Okay, favorite book or author? You've gone for The Notebook by Nicholas Sparks. Tell us why.
I just love that. No, the movie. I'm going to be completely honest, I am not really a book reader. I'm not. And I'd rather watch the movie than the book. But that's the one book that I could possibly say that I have read. And I could read it again and I could watch
Why
the movie.
Is that?
I just love it.
Tell us about it for those of us who have not read The Notebook.
Oh, The Notebook, or seen it. It's just, I suppose, two people that fell in love when they were younger. You know, time pulled them apart and differences, and then it didn't matter, it still brought them back. And I believe in that concept then as well.
Let's hear a little bit from the audiobook of The Notebook by Nicholas Sparks. This is narrated by Barry Bostwick.
I'm a sight this morning. Two shirts, heavy pants, a scarf wrapped twice around my neck, and tucked into a thick sweater knitted by my daughter 30 birthdays ago. The thermostat in my room is set as high as it will go, and a smaller space heater sits directly behind me. It clicks and groans and spews hot air like a fairy tale dragon. And still, my body shivers with a cold that will never go away. A cold that has been 80 years in the making. 80 years, I think sometimes, and despite my own acceptance of my age, it still amazes me that I haven't been warm since George Bush was president. I wonder if this is how it is for everyone my age. My life? It isn't easy to explain. It has not been the rip-roaring spectacular I fancied it would be, but neither have I burrowed around with the gophers. I suppose it has most resembled a blue-chip stock. Fairly stable, more ups than downs, and gradually trending upward over time. A good buy, a lucky buy. And I've learned that not everyone can say this about his life. But do not be misled. I am nothing special.
Okay, that's The Notebook by Barry Bostwick.
Do you like that movie?
I've never seen the movie.
What? You've never seen The Notebook? Oh my God. And it's the one movie that I've bought for like my iPad when I go away on tour. And I'd say I watch it. I watch it definitely two or three times. And I could be away for maybe four nights. I'll definitely watch it every night. Whatever it is about it. Just one of the best movies that I've ever seen.
Inspirational to you, is it?
Yeah, I love the story. I love the message. I think it'll just go down as been my favourite for sure.
Okay, when we asked for a favourite TV show, there should have been no surprise to us in what you nominated, Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville was a great show. And I think when it came out, I was kind of still in school. And obviously country music as well, Matt, when I was in school, if I said I was listening to country music, people would have been like, oh my God. And I remember I was in music, like I did music in obviously a subject.
Where'd you go to school?
St. Flannan's College in Ennis.
Ennis, famous hurling school.
Oh, we have loads of people that went there and won the All-Ireland just passed.
Sure, don't we have one of our regular contributors on the programme, Jamesy O'Connor, a teacher down there.
Yes, Jamesy. I wasn't in Jamesy's maths class now or business class because he was the higher maths and I was never near that. But Flannan's was great, you know, but I did music and it's mad to think when I look back on it that I used to be so scared to even perform. In music. Like I probably didn't start performing until I was about 16, 17 in front of people. I took to the streets busking. But if I was asked to sing in the room of six people that were in our music class, I just couldn't. I'd freak out.
Going busking is difficult, surely, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever it was about busking, I kind of felt like I didn't know anyone. I know it was weird because then...
Be not worried that somebody you did know would come along and say, gee, what are you doing there?
Yeah, and then I just looked down like, it's grand, I'm making money. I don't really mind. But I remember being in music class, Miss Rooney was my... Fionnuala Rooney was my teacher. And I actually used to ring my mum and say, we have a practical today, mum. We have to sing in front of the class. Can you collect me? I said, I'm going to just pretend I'm sick. That's gospel. As I'm sitting here, that's the truth. And it's mad to think now because, you know, what I went on to do as a career then was so like what the hell when I was scared.
Come back to Nashville, the TV show, which yeah, I think Connie Britton was the star in that, wasn't she?
Yeah, Connie Britton was. And you know what? She was singing in it as well. She's a great singer. And you had Lennon Stella and Maisie Stella that were two kind of YouTubers that got into it that from just being seen online, and they went on to have great careers as well as singers. And there's been a lot of people there that have generated music careers from that show, but it just helped me kind of figure out what Nashville was as a little town. They call it the 10-year town, you know, when you go to Nashville, it doesn't just happen overnight, that it could be a 10-year stint before you get anything from it. And as I said, country music wasn't a thing that I could talk really about to my friends when I was younger. They'd be like, oh my God, go away. Now they're all wearing cowboy boots. Do you know what?
Let's hear a little bit from Nashville, where Lennon Stella and Chip Easton perform Believing in season two.
Sometimes my fingers touch, start letting go of everything I love.
When I hit the feeling that my prayers have hit the ceiling, and those darker days when my faith has lost some meaning. You keep me believing.
Okay, that's music from the TV show Nashville, but it was a drama. It was reasonably cutting-edge drama, wasn't it, as well?
It was really, really good. You know, and it, as I said, it kind of gave you the insight of what Nashville was as a town that's really, really hard to do well in. You know, they say on average in Nashville as well that about 200 people move there a day. You know, it's one of the, I think when I was there with my mom many moons ago.
I was just about to ask, have you ever been there?
Yeah, I worked with Aer Lingus when I was in college, and I was very lucky then. We used to get like a flight at the end of our time working there. And I said to my mom, I said, I have to use the flight to go to Nashville, you know, and you need to come with me. And I was 22 at the time, thank God, because my mom was getting asked for ID. If I'd gone any time before that, I wasn't getting near anything in Nashville, because the music that generates in the bars is unbelievable. It's nearly like going down Temple, when you're going down Temple Bar, you know, and all the music that's coming out of it. But the music there, the songwriting that generates from there, the people you can meet, it's such a great city. And definitely, if you've never been, and I never even asked, did you like country music? Do you like country music?
I like bits and pieces of it, but you're actually starting to worry me. I have a daughter who lands in Nashville tomorrow for a 4-day stay with a group of friends.
Right.
So I just sort of wondering what she's going to be getting up to.
Do you know what? It's such a great city, and it's definitely, it's not like a, it's not a rough city or anything like that. You know, it's so much fun. And definitely, if I'd known that, I would have said, go over and meet her. I know she probably wouldn't want that. But
no, definitely would not.
It's a city, if you went there, I bet you'd come home and you'd have a different interpretation of country music.
Well, that's where I'm going to finish, because I think that's one of your ambitions, isn't it? Mm. To get more people in Ireland listening to country music by Irish artists. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to finish by playing a little bit of a song I think everybody will know, because it's written by one of the greats, Dolly Parton, but you're singing it. And here's your version of I Will Always Love You.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go home, but that I'll think of you each step of the way.
Is that not crossover rather than country? You're looking shocked at me for saying that to you.
No, I'm not trying to think when that was even recorded. That was recorded back in 2021. That's the Opry Le Daniel clip. I was just trying to think, where did that come out of? But yeah, look, I think I Will Always Love You definitely is a song because of Dolly Parton. You know, that's why people would love it. But yeah, I know it doesn't sound 100% country there, but if I brought
great it on version,
to that,
very impressed.
I was like, oh my God, where did that come out of?
Anyway, that is all we have time for. Clodagh Lawler, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the Culture Club here on The Last Word in Today FM. It's been great having you. Big thank you to my entire production team, Dermot Doyle, Liz O'Neill, Orla Kearney and Amy McLaughlin. And also we had today Thomas Balfe on sound, and it's Shelley Gray coming up next. Until tomorrow at 4:30 from me, Matt Cooper, have a great evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.